You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Craig Forsyth in the studio to look at the racing at Kelso and Ferry House, which are the only two meetings that remain on Sunday after Fakenham was sadly abandoned on Saturday afternoon. Kelso subject to an 8 a.m. inspection, but fingers crossed they get the go-ahead. We'll be looking at three races from Kempton and one from Ferry House. It's myself, Mick Norton and Paddy Aspel in the studio from 12:30 p.m. on Sunday. But ahead of all that, how are you today, Craig Forsyth?
Yeah, very good, Sam. I was actually in Kelso on Friday.
Right.
Had dusting of snow in the morning, but temperatures were rising, and hopefully, you know, that will all be gone, and racing will be able to go ahead on Sunday because they've got a fantastic card.
Yeah, they do. It's a very good day of action for a Sunday, definitely at Kelso. We've seen the snow call off Chelmsford the other night, so you know the snow's pretty bad when the all-weather fixtures are falling by the wayside.
Indeed, and it has been a miserable few days with the weather. We've lost Fakenham as well. Thankfully, all of Saturday's action did take place. But hopefully things will improve again, I believe, in the early part of next week.
Yeah, hopefully so. Temperatures set to rise a little bit, which is good news for the racing. Let's talk a little bit about Saturday's action. We're recording this podcast midway through Saturday afternoon. We've seen a pretty good day for JP McManus. He had the winner of the big race over at Kempton as well, Modus, bouncing back to form for Paul Nicholls and Barry Geraghty. Good to see him winning a prize like this. He's sort of been on the cusp of winning a race of this nature for a long while.
Yeah, he's been contesting some hot handicaps over 2 miles so far. You know, his last two starts have come in the Great Wood Hurdle at Cheltenham, and he finished seventh in the big race at Ascot, now called the Wessex Youth Trust Handicap Hurdle. Changed its name a lot over the last few years. But I think the step up and trip was the key to the horse. You know, he's travelled well, as he always does in these races. And I think this extra trip has definitely helped him. Temple Ross did quite a bit of the early running. He ran a game race in defeat, finishing second. You know, he continues to go the right way. He's had a good season. But Modus, you know, he's improved for the step up to 2 mile 5 on Saturday.
Yeah, the unbeaten run over hurdles ends for Does Your Dog Bite for John Joe O'Neill, who was really well supported ahead of the race, Craig. Only finished sixth in the end. Something of a disappointment to you, or do you feel that he gave his running today?
I think that was probably him running to form on his current mark. I mean, he did win a decent race over the course and distance at the Christmas meeting, and he'd won really well at Hereford prior to that. But up in grade today, he doesn't have a lot of size and scope for further improvement, and the handicapper may just probably have him where he wants him now, Sam.
Over at Warwick as well, we've just seen Willoughby Bay land the Grade 2 Novices Hurdle there, formerly the Leamington. I heard you say in the racing studio just a few moments ago, Craig, we probably haven't seen the winner of the Neptune there, but Willoughby Bay, a nice enough winner in his own right for that race at Warwick.
He was indeed. We've seen previous renewals, winners and horses strung out a long way in the race, and he just galloped them into the ground, really. Good jumping performance. The track's clearly suited his racing style. And he continues to go the right way. You know, he's a hard horse to knock, but was the performance up to a Grade 1 novice hurdle standard of a festival? You have to think he needs to improve a little bit on the bare form.
Yeah, definitely. So, as we said, it was a good day all round for JP McManus. He also saddled the winner of the big race of the day over at Punchestown as well, the Moscow Flyer Novice Hurdle, which Willie Mullins has unleashed a few real good animals in the past. Min and Duvan are two former winners of the race. It was all about Crack Mome for the Irish champion trainer before the race. Made a meal of the last Craig and was picked up by Any Second Now, who's won in the hands of Mark Walsh. Firstly, would Crack Mome have won the race for you? And a word on the winner as well. It was a nice performance, even though he maybe had to have a little bit of luck.
Yeah, looking at the distance, what was it, just under 1.5 lengths at the line, he lost a lot of momentum with the mistake. And trying to think, did he lose more than the distance he was beaten? He probably did. So you have to say, I think Crackman would have won with a good jump at the last. Take nothing away from the winner, any second now, who took advantage of that slip-up at the last. But considering the distance he was beaten on the line, you have to think he would have probably won, given the momentum and the distance he lost with a mistake.
12-1 for the Supreme Novices now at the festival. We haven't really seen a real strong candidate for the Supreme this year, Craig. We had Min and Altior dominating the market from a long way out last season, but Moonrace is the 5-1 favourite, and it's almost sort of through lack of opposition that he finds himself at the head of affairs.
Indeed, and you know, Moonrace, when did we see him? Was it the spring when he won up at Perth?
And he beat Ballyandy again, who's not exactly boosted the form since.
I mean, Jenkins, at the prices, Jenkins could possibly be the one for me. Another horse I like in there, but whether he's a Cheltenham horse for this year at all, never mind a Supreme horse, he could go up and trip as move with the times. I really like him. Another JP McManus owned horse, and he likes all Cheltenham races, JP McManus, but he likes a strong contender in the curtain raiser, the Supreme Novices Hurdle, and he's interesting as well at the prices. 20-1 with us, move with the times. Him and Jenkins at 16 would be the two that probably catch my eye at this stage of proceedings.
Okay, if you do fancy any of today's performers, any second now has been installed at 12-1 for the Supreme with us here at William Hill. Crack Mohm as well, who finished second in the Moscow Flyer today, is a 14-1 chance for the Supreme. Just before we move on to tackle some of Sunday's racing, Craig, just get your thoughts on the big breaking news this week, the proposed closure of Kempton Park and the installment of an all-weather track at Newmarket. It's polarised opinion, as a lot of big things do in racing. Is it a positive or a negative or a mixture of both for you?
A negative.
Negative.
I don't like to see Grade 1 tracks closing. A couple of reasons why I think it's a negative. I mean, I like the all-weather track. It's the only right-handed all-weather track we have in our country. Horses, particularly young horses and maiden races, novice races, learn a lot from racing round the bend at Kempton. And it's, you know, the home of the King George, a fantastic Grade 1 chase run on Boxing Day. I mean, there's not too many real good National Hunt fixtures there, but the Christmas fixture certainly is one. And, like, you know, I do think it's one of the better all-weather tracks in the country as well. So a big loss for me, and, you know, a lot of water to pass under the bridge by any means before it closes. And, you know, hopefully Kempton will remain open.
Indeed, if it was to move, does Sandown look the obvious choice for you for the King George? I suppose they've got the railway fence there, the pond fence. It could have add a different element to the race.
It would be a totally different race.
Yeah.
You know, well, speaking to Andrew Thornton about the change and what it would do to the King George, you know, he was talking about one man who, of course, won a King George fairly comfortable at Kempton. He also won at Sandown, but he scrambled home. He walked home from the final fence at Sandown. It's much more of a test. I mean, they're going to have to do a lot with the drainage. The ground will be completely different, a much stiffer track. I think it'll provide a much sterner test, and it'll be a much closer test to the Gold Cup than the King George probably offers. But it's nice to have, you know,
because
the two different types of races for the top class.
Yes.
Staying chasers.
Otherwise, you're almost in danger of it becoming a Gold Cup trial rather than a race in its own right.
Yeah, well, you've got the Haydock race, you know, and Kempton offers something different, going right-handed, places more of an emphasis on speed with a jumping. It's nice to have that for the top-class chasers. So, yeah, it will be a completely different test for me.
We'll see what pans out then at Kempton Park. We'll turn our attention now to Sunday's fixtures. We've got Fairy House and hopefully Kelso on the agenda on Sunday. We'll begin with Ferry House's feature race of the day. It's the 2:30, which is a Grade A handicap chase here. Almost €60,000 to the winner. 2 mile, 1 furlong is the trip. A field of 14 have assembled for this. It looks viciously competitive, as you might expect, Craig.
Yeah, it's a competitive race, Sam. The likely favourite for this is likely to be Gordon Elliott's runner, Baldark. A horse who ran over this trip at Leopardstown last time, finishing third. He's able to run off the same mark, but he's likely to be too short for me in terms of interest for punting. I like People's Park, a horse that won here at Fairy House over this course and distance two starts back. He completely bombed out on his last start at Leopardstown, but he's 2 from 5 here at Fairy House. He's got a good record at the track. He did go up a chunk for winning his last start. He went up £9 for that, but Barry Geraghty booked, and he'd be the one that probably offers the value in the race.
Okay, Craig's selection then in the 2:30 at Ferry House. We go over to Kelso now for three races there, beginning with their 2:10, which is a Class 2 handicap hurdle. 2 miles is the trip here. Seven runners line up for it. Has to be said, Craig, it's a good card at Kelso, and there's plenty of nice prize money on offer as well. It's a slight disappointment that we've got a couple of small fields throughout the day.
Yeah, and I think probably the doubt with the meeting going ahead may see a few more non-runners. Travel arrangements, there was a few Southern Raiders entered up, you know, with the weather. May have put some of those off. But yeah, it's still a good card. Really looking forward to it. And this is a good handicap hurdle at 2:10. The weight is headed by Aristo du Plaisir, a horse that started this season over fences. You know, I think at that stage of proceedings, he was still rated 150 over hurdles. But things didn't go to plan over fences. He's come back to hurdles for his last couple of starts. The form of the yard would be a concern for me, for Aristo du Plaisir, for James Hewitt's charge. Still only seven, and still isn't one to be writing completely off just yet. But I would like to see the yard in better form. Meadowcroft Boy isn't badly treated nowadays on a mark of 129, but it's a big ask, 436 days off the track. So I'm going to go with an in-form horse here, Sleepy Haven, who absolutely bolted up at Leicester last time. Ozzie Thomas hopefully could have given us an even better guide, but unfortunately he was a non-runner at Weatherby on Saturday. He's got up £5 at Sleepy Haven, but he comes here in real good form, and he would be the one for me in a competitive handicap hurdle.
Sleepy Haven then for Jenny Candlish, and Sean Quinlan gets the nod in that Kelso 2:10. Half an hour later then is Kelso's 2:40. This is a handicap chase this time. 2 miles and 5 furlongs is the trip. Again, seven runners. Again, a good pot on offer and a decent field have assembled.
It is. Spanish Fleet, I think, is shaped really well in his last couple of starts at Carlisle and Ayr. He does find winning difficult, but, you know, he's gotten nicely here with a weight of 10 stone. Brian Hughes booked. I think he'll be the likely favourite. Final Assault, the handicap are starting to give him a chance. He's just got a habit of making that one horrendous, costly mistake in his races as Final Assault. But if he can put in a clean round, he'd be a danger. But I'm going to go with Ash Park, a horse I like. He's already bettered his form over hurdles since he's been sent over fences, although he's yet to get his head in front over the larger obstacles. But he's run some great races, particularly his third in a very strong heat at Musselburgh last time behind Cold March. That was a strongly run affair. And he's been dropped a pound for that. And he's another one that has a nice racing weight with Sam's £5 claim. And Ash Park gets my vote. Yet another real good race at Kelso.
Ash Park for the 2:40 then at Kelso. The final race on today's podcast comes in the shape of the 3:10 at Kelso. Another handicap hurdle here. 9 runners go to post this time. So an each way angle to the race for this 3:10. 3 miles and 1 furlong. So it should be testing enough for the 9 that have assembled. Who caught your eye?
This is a real drop in quality from the two previous races we've talked about, Sam. And a lot of horses out of form as well. It's difficult. You know, we've got the top weight rated 99 and we're running over 3.25 miles on soft ground. But the one I'm prepared to take a chance with is Hurricane Rita, who is fitted with a first-time tongue tie. Was tried in cheek pieces last time, beaten a long way at Weatherby, beaten a long way at Newcastle prior to that. But if you go back, you know, 3 or 4 runs ago, he was running off marks in the low hundreds and running reasonably well. He's now dropped to a mark of 86. You know, it's a leap of faith in a way, given the performances on his last two starts, where he's shown basically nothing. But prior to that, he had shown much better form, and for that reason, I would take a chance with Hurricane Rita and hopefully complete the double for the Coulthards.
Yeah, could well be a quick double for the yard. Then Hurricane Rita is Craig's selection in the 3:10 at Kelso. Just give us a quick recap, please, if you wouldn't mind, of your four selections for the action on Sunday.
People's Park across an island in the 2:30. Sleepy Haven to get the ball rolling at Kelso at 2:10. In the 2:40, Ash Park. And finally, in the 3:10 at Kelso, we are going to go with Hurricane Rita.
There we are then, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth ahead of Sunday's action. And you can hear all the races on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. It's myself, joined by Mick Norton and Paddy Aspel for the card at Ferry House and hopefully over at Kelso as well. Thank you very much for that, Craig. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.